Kumlan Ablak Gemara, Mitzvah Shabbos, Parshas Bereishis, Tavshin Pei Aleph, Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. Says the Gemara, Dav Samach Chesam Abayis, the very bottom of the page. Amar Mar, two lines from the bottom. We're going to repeat what we did yesterday. So we have an argument in a Meir Rabbi Yehuda, what actually happened with Rav Gamliel's father regarding residing with a tzaduki. Because in the Mishnah we talked about that a goy cannot join in an eidah, you have to actually rent the property from him. And the question is, how do we deal with a tzaduki? And Rav Gamliel was of the opinion that a tzaduki is like a yid, and you can make some kind of arrangement with him. It's not like a goy that you have to rent, it's like a yid, so that he could perhaps be mevatel his reshus. And then we had two versions about what actually happened. Rav Meir's version of what Rabbi Gamliel's father advised the people who joined, and Rabbi Yehuda's version. So Amar Mar, let's go through Rav Meir's version. Rav Meir's version was, he said to them, take out, even though you made an arrangement with Zduki, he can always change his mind. So take out whatever you want, v'chnisu, and bring in whatever you want, bring in now, okay, it's Shabbos, and bring in whatever you want to bring in, ad shelo yitzi hatoyev hazeh, before this abomination will walk outside, v'yeser aleichem, and he will then cancel his bittul. So it seems from here, so what do you achieve by doing it first on Shabbos? That you basically acquired the rights to the chatzah, and he can no longer cancel. Because if you don't go out there and start moving things about as if you're the owner, then the guy can cancel it and you have nothing left. So Ramey, it sounds like that once you kinda the rights to the chatzah, that Zduki cannot change his mind. The memra, so it sounds from here, the chimafki inu, they took it out. And then the hodim mafik iu, and then the Zduki changed his mind and he decided to take his own things out. He can no longer ask for them, he no longer can cancel his permission. But Tanan, we learned later on, if somebody, let's say, gave his reshus, it's the next Mishnah. If somebody, let's say, gave up his rights to the chotzer, and then afterwards, v'hoitzi, he took things out. The guy who gave up his rights then behaved as if the chotzer was still his, as if he still had the rights. Bein b'shegig, whether he did so b'shegig, by mistake. Bein b'meir, deliberately took it out, thinking, I don't care what I said, I'm changing my mind. Oy said, he asas divir ameir. So it sounds like from here that a mayor holds that even he did it b'shegig, so he had no interest in really canceling his rights. Nevertheless, he takes it right back. He's able to cancel it. This is exactly the opposite of what we said before. Before, in the Mishnah, we said that one, go out, take out your things first, so that you're first, and he can no longer change his mind. Here, the mayor clearly says he could always change his mind, even did it b'shegig. Omar Abiyashi Abiyashi is a good question, and therefore I'm going to change the words around. Ema say, Eno Eisen. In the next Mishnah say, that made it holds, it does not Aser. Because once you gave it up, you gave it up. Abayam Alei Kasha. I don't know some of the problems in the first place. Kan Sheher Ziku B'nei Movi. Our Mishnah is talking about, he told them, go out there and you take over the rights, put your furniture outside or bring things in. So you've shown that on Shabbos you've taken ownership, therefore he can no longer change his mind. But the Mishnah, the next Mishnah is talking about where he could change his mind. B'movi Shalayah Ziku B'nei Movi B'movi. Here, Kan Sheher Ziku B'nei Movi B'movi. Kan over here, Shalayah Ziku B'nei Movi B'movi. The next Mishnah is talking about where the people in the chatzah did not show and demonstrate their ownership. They did nothing to bring things inside or take things outside. So as a result of that, when the goy changes his mind, he has every right to. It's not a contradiction. Remember, the only time the goy cannot change his mind is if you already acquired those rights. And I'll prove it to you. Well, Tanya, because we actually learned in a braise, actually, not so the shows, Kozman, the person did not... before he gave it a shus, let's say, before the guy gave it a shus, we'll soon see what he's talking about over here. We're talking about a yid who did not participate in the eidah. Before he gave it a shus to the rest of the people who made an eidah between them. And remember, if you forgot to give an eidah on Shabbos, the only way to join in is by being mevatel your shus, you relinquish your ownership, so they can all carry on, you can't. So actually, the kozman on Shabbos, you did not give over your rights, which means you, Reuven, who didn't give over the abandoned his rights and he didn't join the eidah, is not allowed to carry the chatzim of the rabban. Hoitzi, if he carried on Shabbos into this chatzar, bein b'shoigi, whether he did it by mistake, bein b'mezi, literally, yochel levatl, he can still be mevatl. Why? So Rashi says, the Tosafot completely argue with Rashi, but Rashi holds that a person who is mechalel Shabbos, desecrates the Shabbos, is called a mumer, a deliberate person. And Hirashi holds that even though it's an Issa de Rabbanon, we will treat him as a Mechalel Shabbos, because carrying in the Chatzar of the Torah is all right, it's just a Yochid. But the Rashi holds a Kudra, it's called a Mumer Lechalel Shabbos. But a Meir holds that a Mumer Lechalel Shabbos can still behave like a Yid and relinquish his rights. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, B'sheyig Yochel Vatl. If he did it B'sheyig, so he's not a Mumer, he didn't do it deliberately, so he still had the right to Vatl. The Mezid, if he did it Mezid, ain't Yochel Vatl. He's called a Mumer, that means if he sees wine, the wine is Yayin Nesach. So Rashi has a very big Chiddush here. Then someone is Mechal Shabbos, sooner or later has to do it only in public, before Hesya. But according to Rashi, even if Sachakol, all he did was an Issa de Rabbanon, he's considered a Mumer, and we treat him in every respect like a Goy. Pretty amazing. Tastes it has different pshat, doesn't like the pshat at all. What do you call it? So Abiyuda said, B'shay yechol batl, b'shay yechol batl. But then the Braisa continues, Mi shenas andu shusay, if this person, you know, on Friday night gave up his rights, which means that he's that they can now carry everywhere, but he can't. The hoiti, and he took out stuff from his house. B'shay b'shay mezid. Oise, Rameir holds, it asses. Why does he ask it? Because it's as if he cancelled his abandonment of his rights, and he's taking it back. And so in order to see clearly, the mayor holds you could cancel the rights, right? Which is a question in our Mishnah where he says he can't. And Abai gave an answer, depends if the Eden yet started carrying from the chutz of the house or not, as we'll soon see. Rabbi Yehuda says, B'mezid, if he did it deliberately, he asks it because he cancels. Or B'shege, he had no intention of cancelling his rights, he just forgot. Doesn't ask it. From yesterday, we learned that Rabbi Yechanan moved his belongings into an inner room, so he shouldn't forget and carry into the chatzar to cancel his rights. But remember, when did we say his abandonment? But remember, when we say this, Mishlech Zikman and Mavi, it's a clear Braisa. When do we say that you can cancel the rights, you can cancel what you did? The bittul is only if on Shabbos the people that you gave the rights to didn't take advantage of it. Aval hechaziku b'nei mavi b'mavi, but once they did, bein b'shei mezid, ain't oisi, you can no longer cancel your mind. So Abayi says, you see, this is exactly what I said. Once the other people took over their rights, took over your rights that you abandoned, they took it over, they showed their ownership by moving things about, you can no longer cancel. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. We learned before, Rabbi Yehuda has a different version. His version was that Gamliel said, don't trust the whole thing at all, it's useless, take out all your stuff before Shabbos. And there's two ways of understanding Rabbi Yehuda. One is that he's a goy. We treat a tzduki like a goy, and therefore you cannot abandon their rights. The other way of learning is, no, he's a yid, he could abandon his rights, but he can also cancel it, whatever he wants. Even if you showed ownership, behold, he can overturn it and cancel it. So two ways of understanding Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Amar Mar, Yehuda said, Rosh Nachet, another way, Maharu, hurry up, Vasud, Tzor, Chechem, take care of all your needs, B'mavi in the street, Ad Shalei Techshem, before Shabbos, V'yesh, Ralech, on Shabbos, you can just ask on you. Almos, so right now the Gemara thinks the Pshat is Nochriu, the Gemara says, Novos, he's a goy, and he cannot abandon his rights. Vanan Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, that's the version of the Braisa. In the Braisa it says, Ad Shalei Techshem, before it becomes Shabbos. And he'll ask, in other words, what does the Braisa seem to be saying? Because he cannot abandon, once Shabbos comes in, it's fa'falun, because he cannot relinquish his rights. But in our Mishnah it says, Ad shelo yotzi, do whatever you want in the property before he decides to change his mind and bring things out. Sounds like he's a yid. He could abandon. The problem is we don't trust him. That he can always overturn that bittul that he made, even though you already brought things out. So which one is right? The Mishnah who holds that they're Yidin, but he can cancel his bittul, or the Braisa who says they're not even a Yid? So he was at Amos say, what our Mishnah says, actually, Yitzi, no, we don't treat them like Yidin, they're a goy. They cannot battle. So what it means, talk about Friday, so what do you mean actually Yitzi before he takes out? Actually, Yitzi, not talking about it, taking out, you know, items from his house. Before the day ends, before Friday ends. No, it's due before Shabbos, because once Shabbos comes in, there's nothing he can do. He's a goy, and goyim cannot be mevat reshus. That's one way of learning. Or Yibay say, no way of learning pshat is no. He's a yid. Like Kasha. Kan demum lechal Shabbat. If this duki is only mechal Shabbos, discreetly, So then he's a so then he's not a mumel lechal Shabbos. He's still considered a yid. Can the mumel lechal Shabbos be for hesia? But if somebody desecrates a Shabbos openly and wantonly in public, then he's considered a mumer. And Teish already asked the question, L'choy, the Tzadukim don't believe in any Durabonim. That's what a Tzaduki is. So how can Rashi say that if somebody's over Durabonim, he's considered a mummer? Since Tzadukim unabashedly don't agree with the Rabbonim, they have constant debates and so on, so definitely he's every mummer is automatically a Mechal Shabbos b'fei Hesia. Because they're over Durabonim openly, they're not ashamed. So Teish says an interesting thing, he quotes another Gemara, that Tzadukim, by the way, were frum, and they fouled all the Rabbonims, because they were scared they'd be beaten up by the Haredim. So therefore, they were scared, they use the expression, they were scared of the Chachamim. And therefore they were not Mechal Shabbos, even the Rabbon, not because they believed in it, they did it out of fear. Says the Marikman Ozla, according to who does it go out of the Braisa? Mumer Regili Ponim, says the Braisa. Somebody's a Mumer, right? Somebody who deliberately does not follow the certain mitzvahs in the Torah, without spelling out exactly what mitzvahs they are. And it says, if somebody's a mummer, the gili panim, mummer literally means somebody habitually does an avera. A mummer, the gili panim, and somebody who's a chutzpanyak, harei ze einam avakl rishus. Those people do not have the right to renounce their rishus. Gili panim, mummer have a lechayda. Why would a guy with a chutzpanyak be considered a mummer? Somebody's not religious. What does one thing have to do with another? Plenty of religious people are chutzpanik. Ella, we read it as if mumer begili panim, that not only does he not do mitzvah, but he does in a brazen way, in a chutzpanik way. Eino yochel levat reshus. Now it's like open to the public. And he does not have the rights of levat reshus. Come on, who does that follow? Rabbi Yehuda. Follows Rabbi Yehuda. Because he's the one who says that a mechal Shabbos b'fer hesia, a mechal Shabbos b'fer hesia, does not have the rights to abandon, he's like a goy. But if somebody's mechal Shabbos, but not openly, and we'll see an interesting story in what we mean by saying, a mechal Shabbos b'fer hesia. Ahu, the nafi, there was a person who walked around, with a ring, the medusha. He had the ring was made out of one material, and the seal was out of another material. And you shouldn't, the Rabbanon, you shouldn't walk around with it on Shabbos. Kivan the Chazdil Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, when he was walking out on the street in the ring and his finger obviously is exposed, but when he saw Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, this is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's grandson, it's called Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, he then kasi, he was embarrassed, he put a glove on it or he covered it or something, so Rabbi Yehuda shouldn't see him carrying this on Shabbos. So then he said, there's an argument what Medusha is. Some say that Rashi has an opinion. Rashi, interesting, says he looked all over to see what Medusha is, and he used the expression, Ani Badakti. You don't find this in Rashi. Rashi says, I looked over Gehogavar Shabbos again. Who is it? Rashi's expression is, Ubadakti b'mesechta Shabbos v'loin nishneisa shamlin Shabbos. I looked through Mesechta Shabbos, I couldn't find what this Medusha is. Like Rashi had to learn Mesechta Shabbos again. And he says that maybe it means spices. Others say it means other things. Amar, he said, ki goin zeh mevatel rishus Rabbi Yehuda. This kind of person. So here we have an interesting case. The guy was mechal Shabbos v'hesia. He was walking around with the ring in public. Everybody can see. But because he was guilty, he felt embarrassed that he was doing it, and he hid it when he saw a rabbi. That's not considered b'fer hesia. So that's an interesting taichim b'fer hesia. You know, you have people who are b'chaz b'fer hesia, but nevertheless, maybe in front of certain people, they'd be embarrassed if they parked the car 2 blocks from the shul. That'll be a perfect example. So they're in public, everybody can go in the car, but they don't park in front of the shul, they park far away because they're embarrassed. So l'chayda from this gemara here would seem that that is not considered a b'chaz Shabbos b'fer hesia. Interesting, Shulam doesn't say that, but it's interesting way of looking at it. Talking about it further, Amar Rav Huna said, "Eizi Yisrael Mumer." What's the definition of Yisrael Mumer? The Mechal Shabbos Hesia. So the Mechal Shabbos Hesia. Amar Machne, come on, who does this follow? What do you mean Mechal Shabbos Hesia? Why should a Mechal Shabbos Hesia be a Mumer? The din of a Mumer is that there's all kinds of din, but including that if he sees wine, touches wine, it's called Yayin Nesach. That's why you might see people's houses. They have, if they have guests in the house on Mechal Shabbos, they would have the wine, if it's Yayin, not Mavushal, in a bag, And some, even the Yayim Mevushal, when it comes to Kiddush, they would put it in a bag or in a decanter or something, because a Mechal Shabbat Vehesya is considered a Mumer. So this, that's the statement of Huna made. Omer Nachman, come on, who are we talking about? Iked Rav Meir, we're talking about Rav Meir. We'll have in the Gemara B'chodes and Sanhedrin an argument. The Amar, he said, Choshu L'Dover Echad, Choshu L'Cholat Teir Kula. Rav Meir says, if somebody is definitely wantonly neglects one mitzvah in the Teir, he says, I don't believe this mitzvah, you can't trust him in any mitzvah. Even though he officially professes to adhere to all the other mitzvahs, you can't trust him. He's a mummer. Then I feel like I'm from Toynami. Then why highlight? Why is Avuna highlighting Mechal Shabbos? Any Aveira. If somebody eats tray for any Aveira, he says, this Aveira I don't care about. Then you can't trust him for anything. He's a full din of a mummer. He can't shecht. There's all the din of him. It says in your day in Siman Beis that a mummer cannot do. Ika Rabbanan, if you follow the Rabbanan, says no. That if you let's say one Aveda, you flagrantly violate. All we say is in that Aveda we can't trust you. But everything else we can. If somebody suspects of doing one Aveda, he's not suspecting the whole Torah, then no, so what's the special Aveda of Chosh Shabbos? So then Chil Shabbos, we can't trust him for Shabbos. But everything else he can. I don't know. Then the only thing that we really consider a movement is only if you're a movement of a, if you don't believe in the Abishta, then obviously what's the value of mitzvah? But any other mitzvah is only detail. So you have one Aveda, which is Avedas are idol worshipping. So obviously, if you don't care about idol worshipping, then the rest of the mitzvahs are just, you know, tangents of that, series of that. There's nothing. But if you the only if whatever other Aveda you do, it's only a detail. So that specific Aveda you don't care about. But you're not a mummer according to Chachamim. So why is Avuna say Mechal Shabbos is a mummer to call out Torah Kula? That's the question. So he says here. We're only talking about it. He says no. When he says that a mechal Shabbos is a mumer, doesn't mean lechal Torah. It means a mumer that he cannot, he does not have the right to abandon his rights. If public, he keeps Shabbos mevatel reshus. He has a right to abandon his rights to the chutzah. But in public, he's not a shame of Shabbos, no way he's a chal Shabbos Hesher, then anyone says he has no right to abandon his hopes. Why? Because they say, Yisrael, a yid, neitul reshuz, ven neitul reshuz, but v'nochi, a guy behaved like a goy, at least when it comes to Shabbos, ad she yaske, you have to rent it from him. Now, how do you rent from a goy? Keitzad, how do you rent from a goy? Oymer lo, you say to him, reshuzi knu yuloch, that my rights to this chotzer, I'm selling it to you, or I'm abandoning any rights that I have in my chotzer, and I'm giving it to you. And that's enough. You don't have to make any schus, that's good enough. So what does he clear from here? That a mechal shabbos v'hesya, what he, Rav Huna is saying, is limited only that he does not, have, regarding an ediv. However, Rav Ashiyam says, no. Hai Tanahu, no, Mechal Shabbos is different than all other Avedas in the Torah. The Chamidi Aleh Shabbos Ki Aveda Zora. We treat Chil Shabbos just like an idol worshipper. Because Shabbos is the idea we believe Hashem created the world. And if you don't believe in Shabbos, then you don't believe Hashem created the world. That's tantamount to idol worship. Okay, Tanya, we learned in the following Braisa. the following way, it says the passage in the beginning of Vayikra, Odom ki yakir mikem. So it says, mikem, from you, v'loy kulchem, not all of you can bring a carbon. Prat lemumer, somebody who is a mumer, habitually doesn't do mitzvahs. Mikem, only by Eden, interesting, b'chem chalakti, only by Eden do I make a difference what kind of Eid you are, if you flagrantly violate a certain aveda, but v'loy b'umis. By a goy, we don't care who the goy is, or how he behaves, we will accept his karbonos to the Beis Hamikdash. And then it says mina behema, from the animals. So we learned in Gemara in Kochim, mina behema means that all the animal depends on the animal, whether it was worshipped or not, or whether it was nirba, bestiality, and so on. But here we're dashing, we're talking about people. Mina behema, that what? Well, not all the behema is lahavi bnei adam adayim mina behema. That if there's a person who behaves like a behema, if there's a person who behaves like a behema, we don't. We don't accept. if behave like a behemoth, we'll soon see what it means. If we behave like a behemoth, we will accept his kabbonis. Mikan omru, what do you mean? Mikablin kabbonis mepaish yisrael. He behaves like a behemoth. A behemoth doesn't know how to choose from right and wrong. So these people don't know how to behave like there's no difference between right and wrong. We accept their kabbonis and encourage them to the shiach zil b'tshuva. which is a contradiction to the first part. Before we said that a mumer we don't accept his kabbanis, and here we're saying that a behemah, person behaves like a behemah, we will accept the kabbanis. We'll soon see. Chutz min hamumer. Then you say, except for a mumer, and hamenasech yain, somebody who does wine libations for idols, v'hamechalol shabbosar v'hesya. So mechalol shabbosar v'hesya, we won't accept their kabbanis. So first we have to understand, hoguv v'kasha. Amid, you say, mikem v'lekulchem, that we don't accept all the kabbanis, lohitzis hamumer. Somebody who habitually does not follow mitzvahs. And then v'hadotani, then you say, mikablin karbanis mepoishis, so we encourage somebody who is irreligious to send kabbanis, or perhaps to do tshuva. How's that work? Holekasha. Reisha b'mulchot erkula. In the beginning, we're talking about somebody who doesn't know any of the mitzvahs. If he's a Russian, all the mitzvahs of the Torah, then that's it. We marginalize him. But mitzvahs, the middle case, talking about b'mumul adavad echad. One mitzvah doesn't do. So then we will try to makar of him. Okay, eimah seifa. Then look at the next part. Chutz, the exceptions are. I mean, a mumer, somebody's a mumer. We won't accept his kavanis. And v'menasach yain. Somebody pours wine to avoid his order. Now. What's a mumer? Heche, what's a mumer? I mumer l'chala teide. If a mumer l'chala teide, hainu reisha. If he's a mumer l'chala teide, then we just said in the beginning already that a mumer l'chala teide don't accept his kabbanis. I l'davar echi, only did one of eight, a kashim etzios. In the middle, he said we should encourage him to become baal tshuva. El alav hachik, what's he meant? Chut min ha-mumer, somebody habitually does nasich. If somebody does only one aveda, but what's aveda? Idol worshipping. Or lechal Shabbos b'fehesia, or to mechal Shabbos in public. That what they're both equal. Alma, what do you see from this brayser? Avoid a zora. This Shabbos, ki hadod and nino are exactly the same. Shema mino is a good proof. Actually, we have this Gemara Sanhedrin. I'm not sure why we don't bring the Gemara there. Doesn't bring the Gemara here, and the Gemara here does not bring the Gemara there. But how do you know that mechal Shabbos is equal to an avoid a zora? I think it's a samcheste or something. Also, the samachs. Okay, shema mino is a good proof. Back to the Mishnah. Next Mishnah, An Sheichot, and part of the Mishnah we had before. An Sheichot, the people in the courtyard, Sheshachach Echad Mehem V'loi Irith. So you have five people in the Chotzer, four of them made an Eidah between each other, and they forgot to go to this guy and get some bread from him before Shabbos. Osur Melahachnis Melahoitzi Loi V'lehem. None of them can carry from their house into the Chotzer, or vice versa, because the Chotzer has now two owners. The four who joined together and this one person, and we know a house only has one owner, so you cannot take from an area that belongs to one person into a courtyard that belongs to two people. But shalehem mutarin loy vilahem. But what was that? Well, loyhem ushalehem, but their houses. So what happened was what do you call it? From his house to the chotzer, nobody can take in or out. And we're going to explain the Gemara later, talking about that he was mevatel his rishos to them. We'll soon see. The Gemara will explain what's going on here. He's talking about here in a case where the Gemara will explain he was mevatel his rights to the courtyard, but he was not mevatel his rights to the house. And therefore, so his house is forbidden to take from his house into the courtyard, because the courtyard is no longer his, the owner of the house, because he gave it up. And the people in the courtyard cannot bring it to his house because his house is not part of the courtyard. His house, he still retained ownership. But their houses, since he abandoned his rights, they can carry from their houses to the courtyard, from the courtyard to the houses, because he's no longer there to obstruct. He's no longer obstruct. And he, not only can they carry from their house into the courtyard into the house, because he abandoned his rights, but more than that, he can carry, not from his house to the courtyard, because his house is his and the courtyard is theirs, but from the courtyard to their houses, because he's a guest. Therefore, he's a guest. What about they said, you know what? We'll abandon all of our rights to the chatzah, and now you own the entire chatzah. So Reuven, the guy you forgot to give the Eidah, now is the owner of the entire chatzah. Who mutas, he can take from his house in the chatzah, but the heinasun, they cannot take from their house in the chatzah, because each house has an individual, and the chatzah belongs to to Reuven. What about, and they're us. But he's allowed to take from his house to the courtyard, because it's all his. But they cannot take from their house to the courtyard, or from his house to the courtyard. Now the question is, why not? Why don't we say at least from Why can't they go to Reuven's house and take it to the courtyard? Why can't they be treated as guests? And the Gemara explained, because they're more than him. Usually a guest is less than the host. Not that there should be more guests than hosts. And four owners should be the guest of the one house is not right. But the one house should be guest of the other four houses. That makes sense. Okay, what about Hoyu Shnayin? There were two people in the Chatzir, and they forgot to make an Erev. Oysin Zeh. They ask on each other. And what happened here furthermore is that the four other people in the Chatzir decided to abandon their rights and they gave it over to these two people. And now one of these two people perhaps want to abandon his rights so that this one person now has all the rights to the Chatzir. He should be able to carry out. He's making a Kiddush, so he should be able to carry out. If they start out two, they ask on each other. And therefore, because of two people, they ask on each other. One person can abandon his rights, and everybody can give their rights over to one person, like we had in the first part of the Mishnah. Shnayim, two people can abandon their rights and give it over. But two people cannot accept. If there were two people in the Chatzur who did not make an Eidah between themselves, there were five other people who did make an Eidah, and they all abandoned their rights and gave it to these two people can't do anything. I'm going to explain the reason is why, because at the time when the five people gave to these two people, it didn't help, because they still cannot carry, because each person there, they both still have rights to the Chatzur, so the Chatzur now belongs to, the houses belong to one, each individual owns their house, the Chatzur belongs to both of them, and that's forbidden on Shabbos. And so even afterwards, one of them said, you know what, I'll abandon my rights as well. It was too late. Because at the time when the five people abandoned their rights, it didn't do anything. It didn't help anything. When this law of abandoning rights, B'Shammai says, it has to be done before Shabbos. I think one will conclude, the reason is, according to B'Shammai, giving up rights is like selling them the rights, that you don't make a sale on Shabbos. Even on Shabbos, because he holds all you're doing is walking away from it, you're not selling anything, so therefore you can even do it on Shabbos. Then this is what we had just before in the Gemara. Somebody gave it a shus. And then afterwards the person who abandoned his rights decided to take things out of his house into the courtyard. Whether it's b'shegig, whether it's b'mezid, he asks it on everybody else. In other words, he cancels. According to Rabbi Yosef, it's a mistake in the Mishnah. It should say, Hareza ain't oisa. He does not ask it because once you gave it over, you cannot cancel. According to Abaye, it's talking about over here that the people in the other houses did not take ownership of the courtyard. They didn't carry themselves anything out. So the original person who gave abandoned his rights always has the right to change his mind. In our Mishnah before, when we said that he cannot change his mind according to our mayor, is talking about a case where they took, as soon as he gave them the rights, they went and put their items into the chutzah, so they showed ownership on Shabbos proper. Rabbi Yehuda said, "B'mezid oisir, b'mezid ask us, so you can change your mind, b'shegig einu oisir." Says Gemara, "Beis Yehuda oisir l'chatzay d'sharia." It says over here, that guy abandoned his rights, he cannot carry from his house to the chutzah, but everybody can carry in the chutzah, including himself. "Hachatzay d'sharia, hey, what are you talking about? It doesn't make sense. Either bottle base, if he relinquishes rights, he relinquishes rights to the house and the chutzah, then am I asr? Either bottle, if he relinquishes rights, then base am I asr? Why should house be asr? He gave up his rights to the house and to the chutzah, so if the chutzah now belongs to everybody, his house also belongs to everybody. So why can't the rest of the people in the courtyard carry into his house? No, boss. Either loy bottle, he obviously didn't relinquish his rights, then the commission doesn't mention a word about it, then chutzah de mashayah, why could they carry into his courtyard? It's still his. So the courtyard belongs to two people, him and all the other people who joined together. Says Gemara, you know what I'm talking about? He abandoned the rights to his chatzah, but he did not abandon his rights to his house. So therefore, the house which he kept for himself, nobody can carry. But the chatzah, he abandoned his rights, everybody else can carry. The kosar rabban, one hold him, the people who can give up their rights to the courtyard, rishus beis lebotel, they were never vatel the rishus of their house. Why? The died injured people believe, but live, but bias in a house, but like chatzah, people will live in a house without a courtyard. Vishalahen mutter loyulahen. Now we said that in the courtyard and their house is permitted for everybody in those houses, including Reuven, the guy who abandoned his rights. Why is he allowed to carry from the courtyard to their houses? He abandoned his rights. My time, he's a guest. Just like if you have other guests, they're allowed to carry in your house or your courtyard, because they're bottled to you. So he's like that. Then it says Mishnah Nosnu Loy Rishuson. If they gave him their rishus, who mutav and asur? That he's the only one who can carry all around. They can't. The Nevish, the question is, why can't at least they carry from this guy's house to the courtyard? Let them be his guest. The Nevish Inu Legabei Ki Orchid. Let them be guests for him. So we answer, we believe that one person can be a guest for five. But five people to be a guest by one person is not common, therefore it's not really a guest. Shmamina, what does he claim from here? Mevatlin, Chayzim, Mevatlin, we'll see from here that you can cancel and you can cancel back again. We're right now, the Gemara thinks that the Mishnah is continuing one story. First, he was Mevatel Shus to all of them, so they did whatever they had to do in the Chutzah, bring things in, take things out. And then in turn, an hour or two later, they Mevatel their rights to him, so he can do whatever he had to do. So we see clearly from our Mishnah here, we have had a whole argument before, if Chayzim Mevatel Mishnah will be a Chutzah, since clearly the Mishnah here, that you could Chayzim Mevatel, that you Mevatel, and then you could turn around, you Mevatel to me. So you must know that. Who said it follows from each other? Hachikama. Nostan lo yishusim miikaris. Two separate cases. One case is where he, Reuven, gave over his rights to everybody else. And another case, totally unrelated, if everyone else gave their rights to Reuven. Humutiv en asur, they gave him in the beginning of Shabbos, he is permitted and they're all asur. Hoyishnayim oisin zelzeh, if there were two people in the chatzah, right now the Gemara reads it as if there were two people in the chatzah, they're not allowed to carry the courtyard. That's what the whole Masechta is talking about. That's when you're native. Pshita. So we're like, no, we're talking about the Chabanayu, but the Chavre. What happened was, we're talking about a case over here is, the Gemara right now thinks that these five people will mevatel reshus to these two people here. Of course it doesn't help. Why do you think it helps? The fact is there's still two people, two owners here. So you have basically, they're mevatel reshus to these two owners in the chatzah, so they can't carry. What's the chiddush? Loi, no, see, when you're in the case, the Hodr Chad Menayu Ubotel Chavre. First five people will mevatel their rights to these two, which means they still couldn't carry. And then one of these two turn around to the other one and say, you know what, I'm abandoning my rights as well. You're now the sole owner here, so therefore you should be able to carry. We would have thought that's all right. It should be permitted. Since at the time you mevatel, there was no permission in this chatzah. In other words, the five people, when they abandoned their hope to these two people, it wasn't effective because neither of them could carry. So even though 10 minutes later, one of those two people gave it over to the other guy, it's too late. Because at the time when the five people abandoned hope, nothing happened. The efficacy of that didn't achieve anything. If one guy gave it a shur, says the Gemara, Hasu Lamli, why repeat it again? You're repeating that one guy can give reshus, and one to two people, whatever, that two guys can give, and one guy cannot give to two. What are you repeating? Hasu Lamli. The fact that you can give up reshus to Nina, we already know that you can give up reshus. It says clearly we had in the beginning of the Mishnah. He abandons his rights, everyone else can carry except him. And that everybody can give their rights to this person here, that five people can give to one person, to Nima, at the beginning as well. So what's the point of the Mishnah repeating this part again? It says in the Mishnah, Echad Noisin Rishus, V'Noitel Rishus. What's the point of that? So it says, Seif Yitzchad, Chiddush is the Seifer, where it says in the next line, Shnayim, two people can give Rishus, but two people cannot take Rishus. Says the Gemara, Shnayim Noisin Rishus, two people can give Rishus, and Abba Pshita. Of course two people can give Rishus. We learn five people can give Rishus. Of course two people can give Rishus. Nein, Ma'a, we thought, Ligzer, maybe if we allow two people to give Rishus to one, maybe we'll make a mistake and think that one person can give Rishus to two. And we learned before it doesn't work because it's at the time when he gave the Rishus to abandon his rights, those two still couldn't carry, so it's useless. So maybe we should make a Gzeda that even two people shouldn't give to one. Dilma Osil of Tululu. Next time the Mevatel, you know, one to two, Kamashla, we're not worried. Okay, and then we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah, the next part.